The next 30 minutes will inspire you. High school and collegiate Hall of Famer Margot Hinton, touching on the importance of self-discipline, always challenging yourself, and the support of community. It's Give It Up with Margot Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio.
Welcome to the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com. That's right, where we still give it up for excellence, leadership, and greatness. And we continue to use sports as a metaphor for life, but we are also a podcast that dissects social justice issues from a local position with a global perspective. Today is a great day. I got one of my long lost friends on the podcast, and my partner in power is back on the podcast. You guys all know who that is. I'm really excited. It's about to be live because they are both sports experts. This is part two, celebrating Kobe Bryant. And we're celebrating because on August 24th, it was Kobe Day. And so we're still celebrating with a part two episode. Last episode was fire as well. We had some great people on the last episode, but yeah, we got some more today. I want to introduce everybody to my friend. Since we taught together, we won't say where, but we taught together for some years and years and years, and he's gone on to do bigger and better things. He's a principal now, killing it. Also, he's been a principal in a couple school districts. He's a hooper, y'all. He got a three. He might be a big man, post you up in the post, but at the same time, he'll knock a shot down and put a three in your eye, and he'll be saying, whap, whap, raining on your head. That's all I'm trying to say. He's inside, outside. He is none other than Birchman BJ Greenwich. What's up, BJ?
What up, what up, what up? How's it going?
It's going good. We're going to get this thing started in a second. So let me introduce my partner in power. I really don't have to. You know, I work with his wife, Kristen. He's on this marathon, about to make the Olympic trials for the marathon. He's back from Arizona. He's my partner in power. He's none other than Matt Moclair.
Coach, always a pleasure. It's always great. I said, whatever it is, you know, I'm there, but especially talking about Kobe. And we get a special guest.
Listen,
let's roll.
Can't get better than that. So you guys, they weren't ready for this. Just like part one, they weren't ready for this. So let me just talk to y'all about what's about to happen. Don't start searching for your phone and trying to get on the internet because it's going to be quick. I got eight questions, and that eight, of course, is for none other than Kobe Bryant. And those eight quiz questions, I'm going to see how fast y'all are and what you know about Mr. Kobe Bryant. So you're going to get your reaction button ready, and you're going to raise your hand. Whoever reaction button. Now find your reaction button down on the bottom.
BJ, you know what a reaction button is? Oh, I got you.
So that's where you can raise your hand. Did you find it?
I got you.
Okay. BJ, you got yours?
Oh, I had mine already. I already
got it. Okay. So I'm going to tell you, I'm not cheating. They were thinking I was cheating yesterday. These are the rules. And I wish Dr. Karen Hall was here because she was like a rule. She was like a stickler for the rules. She was yelling at everybody. You cannot raise your hand. Oh, you cannot raise your hand until the question is finished. So you can't raise it until I have completely stated the question. These are eight questions about Kobe Bean Bryant. All right. Whoever raises it first, they can answer the question. And if they miss it, the other person gets a chance to steal. Now, while we're playing, my cousin Larry said he was coming. We'll see. He might slide in. And also my cousin Malcolm. So warning, if they come in, we might not let them play because they're late. All right. Here is the first question. Are you ready? And I'm cracking up because I think I forgot to get the answer. I'm looking. I'm like, oh, I didn't write the answer down. Anyway, what was Kobe's first jersey number with the Lakers?
It was eight.
Eight. Is he right, Matt? I'm going to say yes just because.
Yeah, he's right.
I didn't get the answer, but I'm pretty sure it was eight.
He's right. So here, can we do a follow-up question?
Yes, follow-up.
So
wait, and as long as it's not one of my other seven questions.
Well, you could just give me a nod yes or give me a thumbs no. So okay. He had eight. He had 8 and he had 24. For how many years did he have each?
Oh. If you know the answer, I should have put that on the quiz because you're better than me. I'm just going to guess. I'm going to say 10 and 10.
Oh, there it is.
Was I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Drop the mic, Mark. Give myself 2 claps. I like that. 10 and 10. I like that. I just went with even numbers. That's all that was. Okay, question number 2. Get ready. What? I don't think you know this because if you know this, you love Kobe Bryant for real. You might be related. What was the rap group name Kobe was a part of? Did y'all know Kobe was in a rap group? Oh,
I knew he rapped.
I didn't even know that.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
Goosenecks? No, that was Shaq.
No, I can't even pronounce this. I'm going to tell you how it's spelled. Cheizaw. Is that Cheezaw?
I don't know. It makes me want a cracker, though. But I'm going to go ahead. So here, I'm going to throw one back at you then, Matt.
Go ahead. So, bring it.
So you said Kobe was a part of the Fushnikas. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that was Shaq.
Oh, that was Shaq, Matt. I didn't say it. Matt said it. Get it right.
Shaq Fu. Okay. So what was their biggest song together, Shaq and the Fushnikas?
Oh, Lord. I didn't even
Here's
know.
A hint. I was in the music video.
Oh, no, shut up. Hold on. Let me think about this.
Was it on Shaq's album or the Fushnikas album?
It was on the Fushnikas album.
The only song I know of Shaq is the one where he's like, not my biological.
But yeah.
I'm going with that.
That was biological, didn't bother. But anyways.
Okay.
I know him and Biggie, but that's about the only one.
All right, give us the answer. What was it?
The answer was, what's up, Doc? Can we rock? Yeah, what's
oh,
up?
Oh, yeah. Doc? Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I'm telling y'all, my people got skills. I'm trying to challenge them, and they challenging me. Okay, next question. What other sport did Kobe like to play besides basketball?
Oh. Matt,
BJ?
Now it was Matt.
Go ahead, Soccer. Matt. What was it?
Soccer, yeah. Yeah.
Nice job. He was a soccer fiend. Oh, I got a follow-up question now. What other professional basketball player probably could have been better at soccer than basketball? Go ahead, Beach.
That was Steve Nash.
Steve Nash. All right. Yeah. Y'all getting educated out here. I'm just saying. Okay, next question. How old was Kobe when he got drafted?
Ooh.
Go ahead, BJ. You got BJ. That one.
He was 17.
17. Now, I don't know the answer to this, and I should have made this a question, but you guys probably do. I should probably be asking myself, what number was Kobe drafted when he came out of high school? Like, what was his draft number? I want to say 7.
I think I want to say that's right, too.
See, I thought it was double digits.
Was it double? My cousin Malcolm's coming in. He might know. Malcolm, cousin Minikek, Malcolm Thomas, we are doing a quiz. The podcast has started. So what you do to enter the quiz is raise your hand first, your reaction hand down on the lower part of your computer or phone. And so we're stuck. We have follow-up questions. We're trying to figure out what number was Kobe Bryant drafted. Was it 7? I made up 7. Do you
That's
know?
A good question.
And there's no searching. We'll let you know later, people. Get your lower your hand and get ready for the next question. Get ready, Malcolm.
Reaction okay, I'm ready.
No searching. You can hit that answer for us later. I want you to get this next question. Okay, here's the next question. Kobe was the youngest player to have a video game named after him. I had no idea. What was it called? Okay, I'm going to give it to you. I didn't know either, so it's not like it's a big thing. Kobe Bryant in NBA courtside. That's what it was called.
No, it wasn't.
I swear. Look it up.
What was it on?
That was like in the, what was that, early 2000s, late 90s? They didn't have no good names for the video game.
So that had to have been on Atari then.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a ColecoVision game.
Malcolm, we got a little feedback on something. So do me a favor. I think because you're on two things, you might have to mute. Okay, here we go. Okay, so next question. Kobe signed with what company first before Nike? Matt Moclair.
Adidas.
Adidas.
Yep. And nice. I had those first Adidas. They looked like the shell. They had the shell on them.
Okay.
Remember like those bullet shells? It was he had like the they were like the bubble shoes at first, and then he had the shells.
Oh, I remember the bubble.
Yeah, the bubbles were okay, but the shells were dope because they had that. They came out with the black, with the matted black, and then the yellow were off the chain. It was amazing. The white ones, it was dope.
I love it. Okay.
Sneakerhead.
There are two. Oh. I'm sorry. Go ahead, BJ.
Now I'll just ask him, Matt, is he a sneakerhead?
Huge.
Okay.
Listen, more to me. I got sneakers, but I'm not really. I don't have the knowledge behind it.
I think I lost my athlete card because I was never a sneakerhead.
Me either.
No, that's all right. I guess that is all right.
Okay, hands down, Matt. Put your hand down. Get ready. Malcolm's in the game now. You got two questions, and I'm going to say that these two questions you're gonna know. So be ready. Be quick. I'll call on you, Malcolm. You have to wait to raise your hand until the complete question is answered. Is answered. Here we go. Kobe's final game was against who? Malcolm.
Oh.
You know it. You know it. You know it.
I don't. I was about to say the wrong team. I was about to say the Raptors. I know it's that's no, that's not right.
No, that was the 81.
Yeah.
What you got, BJ?
I'm it's a guess. Phoenix?
No, I just watched a game night before last, so I know. Do you know, Matt?
Utah
Jazz. Oh, listen, man. Let's talk about that final game for a minute, you guys.
Amazing.
Because I'm telling you right now, this brother scored 60 points, and he had 45 with like 3 minutes left. He brought the team all the way back. Listen, 60 points he put up on the Utah Jazz. And they were double and triple team. And Malcolm, do me a favor, mute. Okay. When you're,
sorry about that.
That's okay.
The most amazing thing, Coach, as you said, was everybody in this arena, even the ushers, the dude selling candy out in the street, the cats, the refs were telling Utah, like, hey, man, he's getting the ball. And they still couldn't do anything. Listen.
And then at first I was like, come on, because I didn't see it live. I caught the end of it. So I watched, they replayed it like 100 times. So I watched a replay looking to say, nah, they was just letting us know. How are you going to play for 20 years in the league and just go out with 60? Who does that?
It was crazy.
That's unreal. Okay, last question. How many points did Kobe average in his career? Go ahead, Matt.
31?
No. Who else? Go ahead, BJ, take a guess.
I'm going to say 27.
You were close. Malcolm, you got the last shot at it.
Career, I would say 28.
It was 25 points. He averaged 25 points a game. I don't have the rest of the stats, but I do have that one. Give yourselves a hand. Way to do it. And guess what?
Guys, good job.
That's right. We end it right on time. This is a Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com, and we will be right back.
Urban Media Today is your source for entertainment, news, sports, and lifestyle. It's your online resource for health, fitness, providing tips to decrease your heart disease or increase your good spirits. When you can't find who made the top picks in HBCU sports or what part of the country is most exciting or affordable to travel with the entire family, Urban Media Today is there to provide you with all that you need and just a click away. Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com now. Find us on social media, Urban Media Today, your lifestyle information and blog website.
Hi. Welcome back to the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com. Malcolm, you might have to mute.
Okay.
Welcome back. I'm cracking up, you guys. You know, we're going to talk about Kobe as a girl dad later. And all Malcolm's a girl dad, so he yeah, he got his babies right next to him. So we definitely ain't mad about it. We just gonna celebrate it because we celebrating Kobe today. So that's a good thing. So anyway, we just got done taking a quiz. I'm gonna read you guys a little bit more about Kobe, and then we're gonna jump into some other questions. So the Give It Up spotlight, obviously, for the second week in a row, is on Kobe Bryant. During his duration with the Lakers, Kobe played a total of 20 seasons. His career averages were 25 points a game, 5.2 rebounds, and 4.7 assists in 1,346 regular season games. He won one MVP award and played 18 All-Star games. In the summers of 2008 and 2012, Bryant played basketball on the U.S. Olympic team in Beijing and London, respectively, winning a gold medal each time. On November 29, 2015, Kobe Bryant announced that he was after the 15-16 season, he would be retiring from the NBA, acknowledging that after years of playing and injuries, his skills were declining. Bryant was an avid philanthropist, and I'm just going to say that 60 points he dropped, to me, was not an indication of skills declining, but I understand where he's coming from. Anyway, Bryant was an avid philanthropist. Throughout his career, Kobe granted terminally ill children over 250 wishes through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, raised more than $81 million for research through Stand Up to Cancer, was named an honorary ambassador of After School All-Stars, started the Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Family Foundation with his wife to provide comprehensive services to homeless children in Los Angeles, and donated at least $1 million to the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Please give it up for Kobe Bean Bryant. Yes, yes, y'all. Okay. Any comments on what you just read before we jump into the questions I have before?
I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. If you look up Beast in the dictionary, I mean, that's going to be Bean's face right there. Like, here I am, because he was a beast, straight beast. And I think those accolades and that stat line is just tremendous, especially over that length of time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know what, gentlemen, I think in coach, I'm a journey guy. So I look at the journey of people in different professions. And, you know, when I look at Kobe Bryant, the journey that he took throughout his career, you know, I look at it on the court, whatever he does off the court. And there's been a lot of things that have been said about Kobe off the court. I look at what his work ethic and his successes were on the court. And you just can't overlook what he's achieved and the amount of work that we've learned about that he's put into it. You know, we've heard the legendary stories of Michael and, you know, these greats. But when you look at Kobe, you know, coming from where he came from, going to where he went when he came into the league, you know, it wasn't that immediate kind of success. But what he did was he kept coming back, right? He kept coming back. He kept working. He kept making sure that he was a student of the game. And if anything, if we take anything away from who Kobe Bryant was, his work ethic was by far some of the greatest that we've ever seen.
Love it. Okay, so first question. Unless you have something, Malcolm, go ahead, jump in here.
I want to say this about Kobe. Of the four of us, I guarantee you, I was the least Kobe Bryant fan on earth.
Well, that's my first question. So let me put that out there with what you're saying. So my first question was, were you ever a Lakers fan or Kobe Bryant? So Malcolm's going to start and you guys jump in after that. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I was never a Lakers fan when he was on the team until the end of his career. And I was looking at his game and I was like, I just can't hate on this guy's game. Because his game was so, at this point, in my opinion, he was the best player in the league. And it was when LeBron came out and said something about him being the best player. They were in an interview together. And I remember thinking, man, I don't root for the Lakers, but I became a fan of his. And I wouldn't even tell people at first. So I always rooted against them because they're playing against the Sixers. I was a Sixer fan.
Runs in a family, y'all. We're both.
I was a Sixer fan. They were just dominant, and that's when Rick Fox and all those guys were on the team. And I just like, but it was later, not at that point, but later, I was like, I just can't say anything about this dude's game, because it's just like, I was watching his game one day and it was so incredible that I at one point, as blasphemous as it sounds, at one point I was like, he might be better than Jordan. That's what I was thinking in my mind at this point in his career. Now, I don't think that now, but then I was like, he might be better than Jordan, like from a skill standpoint in his overall game. I was like, man, I wouldn't tell anybody that.
That was really a recency bias on that one.
Yeah, it was a recency. It was definitely a recency bias.
So I'm going to go ahead I just got to say, I wasn't really a Kobe fan either. But mine came from a different place. Mine came from the fact that I was such a huge Shaq fan from LSU, Orlando, and then we went to the Lakers, and you know, that whole feud with those two, or I guess the media driven feud, I think made me not a Kobe fan, because I felt like Shaq got pushed out for Kobe. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, you know, that was my dog. That's who I was riding with. I was riding with Shaq. And when he went to Miami Heat and he won one, and he did that song that got him in trouble, like I was riding with him on that, you know, because he asked Kobe, you know, how something tastes. And I'm like, okay. And but I never disrespected his game. Like, it was never, like, the part of it that was me not being a Kobe fan had nothing to do with his game, because, I mean, his game spoke for itself. And I feel like, you know, the stories about his work ethic didn't really come out until, you know, after he was gone. But, like, you could see how much he worked on his game just by watching him play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I respected that. And I respected the fact that, you know, as a lot of the young players will say, he was a dog. You couldn't get that bone from him. And so, you know, I wasn't a fan, but it was by default because of being somebody, a fan of Shaq.
Love it. Go ahead, Matt, jump in there.
So there are three things in sports that I'm very passionate about. And the first two, we can just gloss over for now, unless we want to have a separate podcast. I despise the Steelers. Malcolm, you can look up now. I despise the Steelers. I bleed black and red for the Niners. Always have been a Niners fan. Always have been a Niners fan. And I have every Slam magazine that was ever put out, and every cover with Kobe Bryant on it. And I think with the same year that he and I came out of high school, I remember going to the McDonald's All-American game at the Civic Arena back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I still have the program. And I remember watching this young, skinny cat from Lower Merion and thinking the swagger that he had, the ability to maneuver his body in a way that we just never saw before. There was something there, something on that court in that Civic Arena that gave us a glimpse into what was come. And I became a huge fan of his. And ever since then, you know, we look to these guys for entertainment. We look to them for a role model of some sort. And, you know, whether it be him throwing an oop to Shaq against Portland in game six back in the day, whether it be him and Paul, you know, sort of, you know, taking over when Shaq left, you know, whether it be, you know, his final days as a Laker, and even beyond that, you know, I think it's one of those things where he was such an integral part of society and a part of what our passions were, that it was just hard not to be an admirer if you weren't a fan.
Absolutely. I'm just going to echo it one more time. I'm at the same place Malcolm is. We Sixers fans, so I never was a Laker fan. And I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest regrets looking back as an adult now is that I wasn't a Lakers fan when Magic Johnson was on there. Because I love Magic, and I'm going to tell you, I was actually upset with Shaquille O'Neal. And that's why I didn't like the Lakers as well. When he made that song, my biological didn't bother, because I just felt like it was irresponsible for people that never met their fathers and really wanted to have a chance to do that. I'll get choked up thinking about it. So I just felt like that was an irresponsible song to make. And it was his truth, but it's not the truth of a lot of kids that grow up wishing that they had their fathers in their lives and wanted to meet them. So I just went a little bit deep with it. So that's why I never liked Shaq until now. I love Shaq. I literally love all the Lakers, and I'm so upset with myself that I did that. And then with Kobe, it was a I don't know. It was a sense of arrogance that I now see as something that was not necessarily arrogance. It was like, I did the thing, I put the work in, and you're going to know about it and you're going to see it. And I wish I would have loved Kobe too. It's just all types of regrets over these things.
But you know what though, Margo, I think the thing about that arrogance is it was a supreme confidence in the fact that he knew he worked harder than everybody else on the floor.
Right.
So it wasn't necessarily arrogance. It was, I put in the work.
Yeah.
So you can't stop me. And he proved it over and over again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he gave everybody else an opportunity to disprove him, right? And they couldn't.
Mm. Wow.
So Kobe. Matt, the only real Kobe fan on a Kobe podcast.
Yeah, Matt. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? All right, you guys. So we're close to a break. Let's go ahead and take it now, because when we come back, we're going to talk about that Mamba mentality.
Did you know untreated chlamydia and gonorrhea can make it so that you or your partner might not be able to become pregnant? Get tested today. Visit Allegheny County Health Department's Public Health Clinic for free and confidential walk-in HIV STD screenings at the Hill District location, 1908 Wiley Avenue. Call 412-578-8081 for more information.
Welcome back to UrbanMediaToday.com and my podcast with my people. It's called Give It Up, Y'all. We got BJ, the principal, Birchman, Greenwich. We got the coach, Matt Moclair, the supreme, about to go to the Olympic trials, Kobe fan. That's right. Rocking his Kobe gear. And we got Mr. Malcolm Thomas, who is the dean of students. And I mess up the name of the school all the time. It's the Male Life STEAM Academy.
Life Melstein.
Life Melstein. I was close. See?
Go ahead, boy.
Close. So he's, we're all involved with, you know, coaching people up, young people, getting them to the level that we would love to see them go, that they want to get to. And speaking of that, that Mamba mentality, you guys. So what, now we know Kobe had the Mamba mentality. My question for you, though, is what other players have you seen besides Kobe and Jordan that displayed that Mamba mentality, if any?
Ooh, can I go first?
Go. Yes, you can.
Kevin Garnett.
Woo!
Kevin Garnett had that, like, from day one, he was coming at everybody. And at that time, it was a big man-dominated league. And, you know, he didn't back down from Tim Duncan. He didn't back down from Shaq. He didn't back down from anybody. He was going hard every night, and he let you know he was there. So that would be
a
my
big favorite ticket.
You know it.
One of my favorite players, and I know Malcolm will echo that. You might have somebody else, Malcolm. So why don't you jump in there now? Because I know he's family likes the same people. Just so
you know. I just want to qualify. You said other than who can we
Jordan
not say?
Jordan and Kobe.
Oh, well, you know. My favorite player was Allen Iverson.
There you go.
And so
he got the Mamba. He did have the Mamba.
Because he, to me, was a player that I had never seen a player like him when he came into the league. I remember watching him at Georgetown, and they did a scouting report on him in Street and Smith, and I have it. And they said he's almost as quick as you can imagine, like, because he was so explosive with the ball. And I just remember him just attacking guys coming into the league. He would like go at every guy. And it was like, and I remember Baron Davis said something about him, and he said, he's unguardable. He said he puts so much pressure on you that you can't really understand it until you're on the floor with him. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, he didn't have the size. He didn't have nearly anywhere close to the work ethic. He didn't have the skill set or overall, you know, ability level and attainment of Kobe Bryant. So he wasn't on that level. But from a mentality standpoint.
There it is. You're talking about practice? Go ahead, Matt.
I'm sorry. Can I jump in on that?
Oh, yeah. Follow up.
So, and I'm going to take it back to Kobe with this one, because Allen Iverson, with that same mentality, took Philly into L.A. and won that game one. I mean, they were so outmanned at every position.
2001.
And he willed that team to win. You know what I mean? And had the audacity after they won to say, we got a couple more to get. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I really dig that. That's a great choice.
It's funny that you said that, because to me, this is sort of off topic, but on topic. The two most outstanding performances, this is to me, in my eyes, what I've seen over the years, all came in losses. LeBron, when he didn't have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, and they won, I think it was two games against Golden State. Mm-hmm. When everybody was gone and LeBron, they were about to give LeBron the MVP that year. I don't know if y'all remember that. There was like an argument about it. Should LeBron get the MVP because he played that well? And the second one is Allen Iverson in the 2001 NBA championship. Like, how's that even possible? What he did? Go ahead, Matt.
Great.
So I love your choices. I think, guys, that we need to take a step back and we need to define what Mamba mentality really is. Because I think it's different for each person.
That's true.
I
agree with that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we look at when we look at Mamba mentality is you look at the characteristics of the person or who, in this instance, who Kobe Bryant was, the character that he showed, the mental fortitude that he held, right? And I think that all those, the way that I look at it is it's like a circle of life, right? So Kobe Bryant, he had every piece of the pie. There was not a one piece missing of that pie, whether it be footwork on his turnaround, whether it be his defensive approach to things, whether it be his mental fortitude, you know, like all these things that people try to duplicate and imitate nowadays that each one of us has inside of us, but it's really hard to bring out. You know, with Malcolm leading a school, with, you know, BJ coming into a role of being a role model in a school, with Coach, you know, need I say more of what you do for the community? I mean, I think all these things we embody, but it's a little bit different for each one of us. So I'd love to hear what each one of us has to say about that definition of Mamba mentality.
Well, you know, I want to start by saying there's a video. It's called Greatness Personified. Mm. That was the video that turned me into a Kobe fan. I used to watch it every day because it looks at the eight different facets of his game. First one it looks at is his rim attacks. Then it looks at his post play. Then it looks at his ball handling. Then it looks at his assists. Then it looks at his fadeaway, his pull up rather. Then there's a part on his mentality. Like just his mentality. They showed his intensity during the game. Then there's a part of his defense. And so it's one play they show where he's locking up D-Wade and D-Wade can't dribble the ball. And he's just all over him. Looks like two guys are guarding him. And then there's another one with him blocking guys' shots. This is defensive still. Then there's another, just his effort. Then there's another one that just shows his finishes around the rim at the very end. And when you see it, it's so phenomenal. Because I couldn't think of any other player who had all those aspects to their game. Not even Jordan. In terms of, you know, Jordan was more athletic, right? And he had a certain physical stature that Kobe had, bigger hands, strong, you know, a little stronger, you know, could jump higher. But just from a basketball skill and mentality standpoint, it's called Greatness Personified. You should check it out.
I got to jump in, Malcolm, because I'm going to read Kobe in his own words what Mamba mentality is. So we ain't even got to define it because he already did. Just so y'all know. So this is what he said first. He said, I came up with it during one of our tours. And then he says, because I put the kids through so many drills and clinics, and I just thought to myself, Mamba mentality. I actually said it out loud. This is what embodies the brand of what we stand for. To sum up what Mamba mentality is, it means to be able to constantly try to be the best version of yourself, added Bryant. That is what the mentality is. It's a constant quest to try to be better today than you were yesterday. Mamba mentality is all about focusing on the process and trusting in the hard work, which we've said before, when it matters the most. It's the ultimate mantra for the competitive spirit. It started just as a hashtag that came to me one day, and it's grown into something athletes and even non-athletes embrace as mindsets. Hard work outweighs talent every time, he added. Mamba mentality is about 4 a.m. workouts, doing more than the next guy, and then trusting in the work you've put in when it's time to perform without studying for or any preparation. Mamba mentality is about going at somebody, going at what's in front of you. That's the Mamba mentality, y'all. I like that, Matt. I'm glad you took us there. That's Kobe in his own words. Go ahead. Anybody else? Jump in, you guys.
So I don't know. I mean, going back to Matt, you brought about that circle, right? And him having all the pieces of the pie. Like, when you think about the great ones, and I'm going to put that in quotes because there's so many great ones, right? We try to dissect who they are, what they did, how they were good at their craft, whatever that craft may have been. And, you know, I'm not sure that any of them have all the pieces of the pie. Like, everybody kind of had that one thing that they were missing. And I know there was a lot to be said at different points in his career about Kobe trusting his teammates, right? But I really feel like even that part of the chink in his armor, if you will, you know, later in his career, he kind of did, you know, because he pushed those younger guys to have more of a Mamba mentality, because that's what he had. And he was really leading that charge in such a way that we definitely did. Let me rephrase it. I didn't see that early in his career. I felt like he was stepping over dudes to kind of get to where he was going. But like later in his career, I really feel like he embraced some guys and really pushed them to be better. And that to me was kind of like, I could finally relinquish that. Nah, I don't like Kobe, to like, all right, he's okay.
Hey, I got a question, you guys. Staying in the same vein, but I'm curious about this, Matt Moclair. Who did you pattern your game after? We know that Michael Jordan was the role model for Mr. Kobe Bryant, but who did you guys mimic? Like, when you were coming up, who were you like? I'm going to just tell you, I was like Mo Cheeks. I'm a Sixers fan. Let me get with Mo Cheeks. And then I had my friends at school calling me Dr. Hinton after Dr. J. They were like, Dr. H. I'm just saying. I don't know if I mimic my game after them, but those are my role models. Who did you guys mimic your game after?
Well, I went off the rails on this one because I was a huge student of the game. So I would look for people that I was comparable to. So I was a shooter all through my life, and you know, to be able to slash to the hole and to get to the rim, I sort of had the unique vision of trying to duplicate what people with my stature and my height and my build. And I was a huge, I don't know if you guys remember him, Bobby Sura.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Florida State. Bobby
Sura from Florida State went on to play for the Cavs, played with Charlie Ward at Florida State.
Oh yeah. You know,
he was like a downgrade from Jay Will and White Chocolate, but he was like on the same kind of level that I could understand and comprehend his game. I mean, listen, everybody says that they try to be like Michael and Kobe and everything like that. I get that. But in reality, that's who I tried to mimic myself after.
I like that. Bobby Shore. Go ahead, Beach.
So mine is another one that's kind of an obscure player, but I really felt like Anthony Mason.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, Anthony Mason played for the Knicks. He was that original point forward. He kind of did things that were a little bit, you know, to step out, shoot a jumper, post you up, try to play bully ball a little bit. And so I really felt like he was the guy that I wanted to be like.
I like it.
Love it. Good, Malcolm. Yeah,
for me, I always was a guy who I'd rather get 20 assists than 50 points. You know, yeah. Even now, I just, the people who were passers were guys that I always like emulated, and ball handlers. Because my first introduction,
that'd be Jay Kidd.
Basketball was the Harlem Globetrotters, right? That was my first introduction to basketball when I was 5. My dad took me to see the Globetrotters. And so I would get the ball and just do stuff with the ball. But I used to love Jason Kidd. I just love Jay Kidd's game.
I knew it.
That was my favorite player for a long time. Because, you know, he just, the type of passes, and he's the type of person I was very sensitive to, giving a guy a pass as a dump off versus setting a guy up for a score in the way Jay Kidd, he would set you up and give you the ball exactly where you needed to catch it. Exactly. And I would watch the way he did that. It was phenomenal to watch the way he was playing. From an assist standpoint, I was never a great shooter, and he wasn't a great shooter, so I kind of looked at his game a lot.
That's a good one.
Told people that, but I would watch Jason Kidd because I loved his game.
Yeah. I was a big Jason Kidd fan with the Nets.
Yeah.
And what was his name? Last name, Kenya Martin.
Oh, yeah. Kenya Martin was a beast.
Kenya Martin. Anybody Martin? Who was on a team, what? Yep.
I can't remember nobody else. That's the only
Kerry team. Kerry Kittles.
Kittles was on that team. Later on, Vince Carter came to the team.
Richard Jefferson was on that team.
Richard Jefferson from Arizona. Yeah,
Richard Jefferson was on that team. But Jay Kidd, they went to the championship. They went to the championship with him on that team.
Van Horn. Remember Keith Van Horn?
Keith Van Horn.
Out of Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love Jay Kidd's game. Yeah.
That's a good one.
He played he was also a defensive player. A lot of people don't give him credit for that. But he played tough defense. A lot of people don't remember that about him.
This is what I think. A lot of times when you're a good passer and you're crafty at passing, I think I'm just talking about myself, really. But when you're crafty at passing, you have an instinct for defense. Like there's some instinctual stuff about that taking that ball, just like dropping it off to somebody like Malcolm says, and putting them in a position to score. So I like to pride myself in thinking that I was able to do that. So you
and I want to say one more player just to answer the question. If I'm being honest, the person who probably influenced certain aspects of my game as an adult, this is going to sound so strange to say this, but to me, the person, in my opinion, who has the most beautiful game I've ever seen is Kyrie Irving. Like just his game, the stuff he does, not just his ball handling, but his skill set. He makes shots that if I went into a gym and tried 20 times, I might make one. The degree of difficulty of the shots he makes and just the stuff he does with his body and using his offhand and just misdirection with the ball. And it's like it's almost like an art form watching him play. So I learned a lot. Like when I was able to play with younger guys over the past 5 years, it's because of watching him. And what he does just to protect the ball and get his shots off. Not him as a person or anything, whatever you think of him, but just watching his skill set with the ball.
You got to throw that in there. He did sign his contract, though. He opted in. I think he opted in. I don't understand none of that terms, but I know he opted in. So, you guys, this is a thing that's out there. It's floating around. I got 100 more questions, but I'm going to get down to the nitty gritty with this one. And we got a few more minutes till we take our last break. But this is the question. I was listening, I said this last week, to Karen Hunter interviewing Stephen A. Smith. And he mentioned his Mount Rushmore, which is four people, you guys, four people. And so I asked last week's group, is Kobe on your Mount Rushmore? And so I got Stephen A's. I got them all excited because last week's group, they were all big Laker fans, all Magic fans. And I made the mistake of saying that Stephen A put Magic in there. And it was wrong. So Stephen A, he had LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Let me mess it up. Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
What?
That was his. And I was like, Stephen A., I can't argue with you, Stephen A. Who y'all got? Just answer first. Is Kobe on it?
Yeah.
And then rationalize whatever your choices are. Go ahead. Who's going first? Matt, you
and knew he was on yours, Matt.
Well, he's actually the only person on the Mount Rushmore of mine.
He's at the top of the mount.
Listen, I think we're all influenced by the generations we came up in, right? And I think that one of the things that we try to do is we try to be equal opportunity, right? And to make sure that we think back to who influenced the game, who was a really big time entertainer for the game, who held the most prestige as the best player in the game. So, you know, when we look at these things, I mean, you could list 10 different players in a myriad of different.
And make an argument, make an argument.
Yeah, exactly. So I think definitely Kobe Bryant's bust has to be up there. I mean, you look at Michael, you look at LeBron, and I would take Bill Russell for what he did, you know, in terms of
winning
and what his influence was off the court.
Okay, hold that thought. I'm going to come back and get Malcolm and brother BJ. This is the Give It Up podcast on urbanmediatoday.com, and we'll be right back.
Hines Endowment and the Poise Foundation, as part of the Ford Foundation's America's Cultural Treasures Regional Challenge, are proud to announce the Pittsburgh Cultural Treasures Initiative. 16 local organizations received grants that help them continue their efforts, providing quality arts experiences deeply rooted in the Black history, culture, and the means to serve their communities for years to come, creating a stronger legacy within our community and beyond. Congratulations to One Hood Media, Africa Yetu, Afro-American Music Institute, the August Wilson African American Cultural Center, Balafon West African Dance Ensemble, Boom Concepts, Hill Dance Academy Theater, Kelly Strayhorn Theater, Kente Arts Alliance, Legacy Arts Project, Manchester Bidwell Corporation, New Horizon Theater, Pearl Arts Studios, Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater Company, the Ujamaa Collective, and Women of Visions. Congratulations to these amazing organizations. Find more about the Pittsburgh Cultural Treasures Initiative today at Hines.com. Celebrate and support all 16 Pittsburgh cultural treasures.
Welcome back to Give It Up on urbanmediatoday.com. We are talking about who's on your Mount Rushmore. So far, Matt went, remind us, Matt, you said LeBron, MJ.
LeBron and Bill.
Okay. Who's up next?
I'm going to go with this. I know Kobe's your man, but I got to go with these guys. I'm going to go with MJ. I'm going to go with LeBron.
Please don't say IAI.
No, absolutely not. I got to go with Bill. And I'm going to go with Kareem as my fourth guy.
Kareem. That's similar to
just because to me, he was.
I think that's the exact same.
The most successful basketball player, in my opinion, of all time. And when you talk about high school, college, and professional career, he was the winningest player ever. So I got
Kareem,
it. That's why I'm throwing Kareem up there.
And you can't downplay that. I mean, those are great choices.
Yeah.
Beige.
So let me ask this question. I got to clarify. So is this Mount Rushmore trying to win a game? Or is
No.
Okay. All right.
No, they ain't playing together.
Okay.
So, that changes everything.
Right. Yeah, sure. Listen, I got a whole nother starting five.
So, I mean, I gotta put Jordan on there. You have to.
Right.
You got to put LeBron on there. I mean, there's no you can't. I'm going to go off the reservation, though. This is one of those ones that, like, I wish injury had never plagued his career. Because absolutely would have been the greatest basketball player ever. Grant Hill.
Grant Hill, okay. Put Grant Hill in there. Give some Grant some love.
And the reason why I got to put Grant Hill on there is because for the first 5 years of his career, there was nobody touching him. He was dogging Mike in the first 5 years of his career. You know what I'm like? He was dogging everybody. dropping triple doubles every night. He was a taller, better shooting J. Kidd.
See, I got to jump in now. I got to jump in now because I heard some disrespect to Allen Iverson.
Where's my fourth? Where's my fourth?
Oh, my fault. You have one more. Go, Beach. My
I got
fault.
One more. And so I got to put a point guard on there, but I'm going to put a point guard that played every position. And I'm going to put Magic Johnson on there.
Magic Johnson. Magic. Magic. Okay, I got to jump in now, you guys. I'm just saying because I heard I had a different Mount Rushmore last week. But the more I thought about this over time, I am putting Allen Iverson on Mount Rushmore. And let me explain why to the people that want to hear it. More, I think, I'm going to say this. I think Allen Iverson, more than any player in the history of basketball, didn't just change the game on the court with the crossover. But he changed it aesthetically. I'm talking about from what people wore to the game, from the tattoos that they had, from the hair that they rocked. I'm talking that dude had a bigger influence than anybody else in the history of the game. That's why I'm putting AI. Last week, I didn't put him on there. But this week, if you're talking about influencing the game and the whole culture of the game, I got AI is on my Mount Rushmore. I'll go Michael Jordan. Just for the sense of the scope of it wasn't just on the court, and it wasn't even just, you know, his style. It was everything he did off the court in terms of Nike and, you know, his brand. So that's number two. I'm excited about it now, y'all. And then I'll go with Bill Russell, the winningest person, and I'm going to throw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The winningest person in the NBA was Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the winningest at in every level. That's my four now.
So I let my Duke bias on my Duke list. I have to. I mean, we already talked about Kyrie, so I had to throw Grant Hill on there. And I know that's 100% off the reservation, but I'm saying I think it's off the reservation too.
About Grant Hill, right? Let me say this about Grant Hill.
Go ahead.
There was a season or two when I saw Grant Hill do stuff against the Bulls that I had never, ever seen. I thought Scottie Pippen was the best on-ball defender in the league and one of the best in history, in my opinion, as a wing. That was my opinion at that time, that he was the best wing defender in the league. And Grant Hill scored on him consecutively like four times in a row and was just isolating him on the wing. And I was just like, my goodness gracious. You have to go look at, go YouTube it. He was just left, right, this, pull up. And nobody could do anything. And I was like, this guy's unbelievable. And he was doing that over a period of maybe two seasons for the Detroit Pistons now, Grant Hill. This, this is the Detroit Grant Hill. And I was like, this guy's might be the best, you know, the second or third best player in the league right now.
Nice. Y'all, I got it. We only have a couple minutes left. So I have to get this question out there because we're talking about Kobe, and Kobe was a girl dad. And I know BJ and Malcolm, you are girl dads. And so I believe Kobe influenced that, just like the mama mentality. He was the person who came up with this whole girl dad thing. And, you know, when we saw him with his daughters and at the WNBA games, the influence that he had, in terms of girls and women in sports, I think has going to outlast him, and it's going to be a something that's part of his legacy. And just as girl dads yourself, just talk about the impact of, you know, Kobe's influence, as well as, you know, what does that mean to you to be a girl dad?
Malcolm, you want to speak to that first?
Well, I'll say for me, here comes one of my daughters now, but I'll say for me, it really, I thought, showed me a different side of him that made me respect him at a deeper level. I think that's part of the legend of Kobe Bryant, was like this other side of him that was such a contrast to his on-court persona that to me was in some ways comparable to that. In terms of how he approached his daughters, women's sports, working with young ladies, and just that whole side of his personality. And then when he stopped playing, he literally stopped. He said, I don't miss it. I don't think about it. It's over. And he focused all his energy on his daughters and his family, which you very rarely see professional athletes do. They kind of get, they kind of linger at that space where they just can't let it go.
Mm-hmm. We so got about, me, you guys, I'm sorry to interrupt Malcolm, but we got about two minutes left. I got
to
be on time.
It inspired me to show that how you can have all those elements in your personality.
I love it. BJ, you got 30 seconds and we're going to end with Matt.
Real quick, I'm just going to say that his mama mentality showed through in his love for his daughters too. Like it was, he was all in. And, you know, I think for me, it's inspiring to be all in for my daughters and just to be the best man that I can be and hope that that leads them to find a good man and to be happy and to be fulfilled in life.
Oh, I love that. And Matt, my last question for you is this. How are you going to remember Kobe Bean Bryant?
Well, the word legacy is a very integral part of what my persona is. And I think you look at legacy and you think about, you know, what you leave to influence others. Right. And I think Kobe has really left that kind of the mark on this world, whether it be on the court, whether it be off the court, that he will always be a figure that a lot of us look to for strength, for the drive, through the ability to accomplish things that might seem a little bit out of this world. And I think that that's something that we'll continue to look upon and learn. And I hope we never forget.
Wow. You guys, this has been a fantastic hour. I am so blessed to have my cousin, Malcolm Thomas, my friends, BJ Greenidge and Matt Moclair on the Give It Up podcast. I really appreciate you guys. Yes. Shout outs to Kiki Trevin and Mr. Alan Lincoln. Everybody give it up and be blessed.
It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio. Brought to you by Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions.
The views and opinions expressed on podcast do not necessarily reflect on the official policy or position of Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio. Any content provided by guests, sponsors, or advertisers are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.